G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast, the podcast that's all about intermittent fasting. I'm your host, Graham Curry from Perth, Australia. I lost 60 kilograms or 132 pounds living an intermittent fasting lifestyle and have successfully maintained that weight loss. I'm also the author of the Amazon category best-selling book, The Fasting Highway, which will give you a great insight into what it's actually like to live it day to day, how to get started, what it's about, what are some of the health benefits that come from it, and how to turn it into a successful long-term lifestyle. In this series of podcasts, you'll be hearing from people from all over the world, from the beginners to the experienced and those that are on the journey. You'll also be hearing from some leaders in the intermittent fasting community, and you'll also be hearing from some past guests as we recheck in to see how they've been going. And thank you for joining us here on the Fasting Highway. Enjoy the show. G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast. And this is episode 207, brought to you by our Patreon members community. And a big shout out to our new members of the Patreon members community this week. We're certainly growing very fast, and I'm really thrilled to see the growth in all the members, particularly those that have been joining us in our Zoom accountability meetings. It's been fantastic. We have two of those a month in both the Northern and Southern Hemisphere. So if you'd like to come and get some extra accountability, those meetings are hosted by myself. So you can come and ask me questions personally. You can also bounce off other experienced fasters that come in and pay it forward and help share their own experience living an intermittent fasting lifestyle. Okay, folks, let's get on with today's podcast. And I'm going to be speaking with Suzanne Muller. And Suzanne lives down in New Zealand in the Nelson region. And Suzanne is a scientist and also a medical writer, now retired. She has emigrated from the United States down there to New Zealand, where she lives with her husband. And Suzanne has been living an intermittent fasting lifestyle now over 4 years, and she has some really great insights around IF and also some tricks and hints about what to do when things may be going slightly wrong. Suzanne also has a great take on maintenance, and just a simple adjustment in her maintenance phase made all the difference, as you'll hear in this episode. So here she is to tell her story, the amazing Suzanne Muller. Oh, good day, Suzanne, and welcome to the Fasting Highway, and thank you for joining me today.
Hi, Graham. Thank you. So excited to be here.
Excited to have you here all the way from New Zealand there, but don't let Suzanne's accent fool you. She's an expat from the United States, now living beautifully down there in New Zealand. But Suzanne, for people that may not know your story or know of you from our Fasting Highway community, where you're a real inspiration to a lot of us, if you wouldn't mind just sharing a bit of your backstory and that pathway to getting towards intermittent fasting.
I first heard of intermittent fasting from a chiropractor in the U.S., and he kind of offhandedly mentioned to me he was doing it for health reasons. He was not an overweight person at all, and I was intrigued by that and sort of started Googling around. And shortly after that, I found Dr. Jason Fung's book, The Obesity Code. And it made a lot of sense. I have a background in science and medical writing, and thought it was really interesting. So I immediately tried fasting, but I wasn't really fasting because Dr. Fung's book doesn't really tell you how to do it. I had was having cream in my coffee and kombucha and bone broth, and I was so hungry. I just couldn't do it. So I did a couple of longer fasts, but it really didn't stick until I started doing the clean fasting. And that was after reading Delay, Don't Deny. And I've stuck with it ever since then, and found your Fasting Highway book and the podcasts. And all of that has been so incredibly helpful. So my backstory as far as the weight is that I slowly over the years gained weight to the point where I got into that borderline between being overweight and obese. Gained and lost the same 30 pounds, which is what is that, about 14 kilograms, over and over again. I was a yo-yo dieter. I would gain the weight, and then I'd go on a diet, usually Weight Watchers or calorie counting or keto. I've tried those three. And I would lose the weight fairly successfully, but I would always gain it back, always. And I did that many, many times. I've lost the same 30 pounds over and over and over the years, to the point that I got extremely tired of doing this. And so when I heard about intermittent fasting and that you could do it without counting calories or tracking, I thought, well, maybe this will stick. Maybe I will try this. I started doing it, doing clean fasting in 2019, and fairly quickly lost 38 pounds, about 17 kilograms. I had ranged my entire life. I had ranged from about 220 pounds to 180 pounds with all of that yo-yo dieting. And intermittent fasting actually allowed me to go even below my usual weight that I had gotten to with all the other calorie counting and other tracking diets. And for record, I'm 5'9", which is 1.75 meters tall. So currently got to about 160 pounds, which is about 72 kilograms weight. And that's a weight I had not been at since my late 20s. So I'm 61. Been a long time since I had been that slim.
Absolutely amazing. Amazing. You just said you're 61. You could knock me off my chair. You certainly don't look like you're 61, that's for sure.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it is. Look, I see it over and over again when I interview people, and I see the brightness of their skin. I see the age reversal in them when they tell me at what age they are. It really surprises me. And, I think there's so many benefits of intermittent fasting, which we're going to talk about, but I just want to strip it right back to when you very first heard of intermittent fasting. Obviously, with your medical and science background, what did you first think about it? And sort of, did you go down a few rabbit holes as far as the research went before you kicked off, or was that sort of later?
Well, I think that the big revelation to me was the whole story with insulin, and it made it fairly clear to me that I had been maybe not diabetic, but probably insulin resistant most of my life, and that that had not helped me be able to maintain my weight. And that that had also caused me to, have a number of health problems that had started to crop up. And so that mostly largely related to inflammation. So yeah, I did go down a lot of exploratory paths relating to the science. I did a huge amount of reading. I pretty much read it, every book I could get my hands on. But of course, I was fairly interested in the science behind fasting. And in particular, nowadays, I'm really interested in the relationship between mood and mental status and a good metabolic health. I think that there's not a lot of research yet on that, but it's an area that's popping up that when you are metabolically healthy, your brain just works better. And that includes things like mood. So I and cognition and mental clarity. So I find that whole area pretty fascinating.
Yeah, they often talk about, excuse me, a lot of the physical aspects of intermittent fasting and the health improvements and that. But I think mental health is huge in a lot of ways, and just how people think about themselves, how it relates to that newfound metabolic health, if you like, and being improvements in that. And I think we will touch on that in a minute. But also, wanted you mentioned there that 2019, so you're nearly 4 years into this now. And the clean
Over
fast.
4 years.
Yeah. So
Yeah.
this clean fast, super important, as we know. So just talk us through your eating window when you first came to intermittent fasting in 2019. Were you eating all the things, or the things that you were delaying or not having, that you as a medical sort of background person
that just weren't serving you well?
I did not restrict any foods, but I was already eating a fairly healthy diet. I grew up with a mom who was a very good cook, and she and my father were vegetarian for many years, so there were a lot of vegetables. And I never developed a fast food habit or a soda habit. I just was not a fast food or soda consumer. So that was already quite healthy in my diet. And so when I started intermittent fasting, I didn't really change anything in the beginning at all. I just ate the way I had been eating. I started out doing one meal a day, and I pretty much went straight to that. I didn't have a huge amount of problems with that. I went straight to just eating dinner in the sort of relaxed, lengthened way. So I would open my window usually at 5 p.m. and have an appetizer and then have my main meal and then have a little something sweet for dessert. And I also didn't really even focus on closing my window. Because I'm an early bird. So I was always ready to go to bed by 9 p.m. So, you know, that gave me a 3.5-4 hour eating window. And then, you know, then I would go to bed and I never had to think about closing my window, which was one of the lovely things is in the beginning, I chose to be very careful about just focusing on one thing. And that one thing was not eating before 5 p.m. And of course, then making sure that everything that I consumed before 5 p.m. was clean, fast approved. So water, sparkling water, black coffee.
Yeah.
And that was it. That's what I did.
Yeah, that's great. And I'm the same. When I first started, 5 p.m., that was my go-to every day. After 5 p.m., that's when I ate, right? And I ate good food. I ate till I'm satisfied and full, not stuffed. And I repeated the process the next day. And, you know, I think appetite correction is something we talk about as well. Susan, did you notice that coming along, Suzanne? And sorry, I should say.
Don't know that I have done very well with appetite correction. I still like to eat a lot. I think I experience appetite correction, but I don't pay attention to it sometimes. I just keep eating because the food is so good. So I still, that's probably of all of the things that happen with IF, that's probably the biggest work in progress for me is moderating what I eat to the point where I listen to my satiety cues.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I mean, over the time, has your sort of food choices changed at all? Or has it been pretty constant in that 4 years?
I have, since starting fasting, done a little bit more of moderating alcohol and moderating sugar. And I've also been working on increasing the variety of plants that I eat. So trying to try new foods and, you know, and then also I've been focusing on the quality of the food, making sure I'm not eating ultra processed food. And buying food that is well sourced that I feel is going to be healthy for me, whether that's organic or, you know, just making sure that it's not something that might be harmful. I've mostly just tried to focus on health from a toxins perspective than anything else.
Yeah, let's talk about your eating window now. I mean, the length of time, excuse me, when you first started, what was your fasting protocol? Has that changed? And have you done anything like extended fasting, ADF or anything like that? Or you sort of experimented with a few things along the way?
Yeah, so most of the time I did one meal a day. And, you know, maybe this shifts me into talking a little bit about maintenance because I did try ADF and, so what happened was I started in 2019. I lost 38 pounds fairly quickly in under a year. and then maintained actually fairly easily for a couple of years. And then we were traveling and I didn't have my scale that I usually weigh myself on, and we were moving and there was a lot going on. And in late 2021 and into 2022, I gained back about 15 pounds. So my maintenance slipped a little bit. I kind of was starting to fail a little bit at maintenance. And it's not surprising because I, you know, never did well at maintenance. That's why I did this whole yo-yo thing. So on my 4-year fasting anniversary, which was August of 2023, I decided to try alternate day fasting. At that point, I still was about 10 to 12 pounds over what I wanted to be, over my what I felt was my maintenance weight. And that weight that I regained back while I was in maintenance was kind of put me at the top of normal weight range, or maybe a couple pounds over the normal weight range for my height. So not huge, huge amount of weight, but still more than I wanted to carry around. So I decided to try alternate day fasting, alternate daily fasting, and I had never done that before. And what I did was I did 2 down days a week, each day followed by an up day, of course, and then OMAD for the remaining 3 days. So I did that for 2 months. I actually absolutely loved it. I thought I was not going to like it very much. I had been afraid of trying ADF, but I really did like it a lot. It was very surprising. So when I gained that weight during maintenance, part of what happened was the fasting had gotten harder and my windows had started slipping. And for some reason I was hungry. I just wasn't feeling the way I normally did. And when I did ADF, within a couple of doing a couple of down days, even the OMAD started feeling easier. So in hindsight, I think what had happened, because of what I mentioned before, that my appetite correction isn't great. So I think what had happened was I'd gotten to the point where I was refilling my glycogen stores on a daily basis, and then I wasn't fasting enough to deplete them on a daily basis with one meal a day. And so every time I got to close to the time when I would have been breaking my fast, I was getting hungry a couple hours too early. I was getting really hungry. So I think ADF allowed me to decisively flip that metabolic switch again into fat burning and get me back to having depleted glycogen stores on a daily basis. That's my sort of, I suppose, semi-scientific interpretation of what happened. But now, and I did lose the weight that I wanted to lose with ADF. So I got back down to 160 pounds. And then I've been doing that since, last October, so October of 2023. And I did go down from 2 down days a week to 1 down day a week. So that's what I'm doing right now. As my maintenance, I'm doing 1 down day a week, 1 up day a week, and 5 OMAD days a week.
Okay. So just on the ADF, are you doing the 500 calorie thing, or you just basically fast 1 day up, 1 day down?
I am not doing the 500 calorie thing. No, I did try that one day and I found it actually hard to control to 500 calories. I found it hard to limit myself to 500 calories. I want to be clear. I'm not avoiding the 500 calories because I think it's bad or anything. I think it's a great option. It just didn't work well for me. When I sit down to eat, I want to eat, and I want to eat until I'm done eating. I don't want to limit myself. And so it just, it in a way, it was, it triggered my diet brain more. I really have, I feel like I almost have PTSD from all those years of yo-yo dieting and counting calories and counting macros. And I really just, I'm done with anything that relates to counting or tracking, other than keeping an occasional eye on my weight.
Yeah, I get it. I really get it. And I think many people can resonate and relate to that. But yeah, I think it's important with ADF too. When I hear people say, I did a 42-hour fast, but I did a 500-calorie halfway through it, that you actually aren't doing a 42-hour fast. You're actually breaking that fast by doing the 500 calories. So basically what you're doing is splitting into two 21s maybe, or roughly around that. So I think for me, I know that if I was doing the 500-calorie option, I'd want to eat all day after that, because once I started eating, I'd find it difficult, or I'd get really hungry. And so that's why I don't do it. But, you know, we all have to find our own way and our own protocol with this and what works. And
yeah, I found, I was thinking the same thing with a 500 calories, is that it was too hard for me. What I did find though, is that when I was doing a down day, I would reach a certain point in the evening where I could feel the fat burning start, and I could feel that suddenly I was just not at all hungry. And that was happening around 7 p.m. for me. So I had a, you know, I usually break my fast out around 5. Somewhere around 7, my body would give up and say, all right, we got to flip that switch and give her some fuel. And then it felt amazing. It felt just really good to do the ADF.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I like what you're doing now and the maintaining, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But I know people like to know, Suzanne, if you don't mind sharing, about exercise. Is that a thing for you there, living in a beautiful part of New Zealand? I guess it would be.
Yeah, so I have been a moderate exerciser my whole life. We did a lot of skiing when we lived in Colorado, and I've always loved hiking. So I do a lot of hiking, a lot of walking, and I'm also a big fan of Pilates. So here nowadays, I'm doing Pilates classes 2 days a week, and walk just about every day, and you know, probably hike every weekend, and then whatever else is out there, occasional kayaking or occasional biking, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you're certainly living in the right place for that. That's for sure.
Yes.
And I know for me, exercise became a joy when I got the weight off. And I think that's an important part of it. But, you know, we're going to move in now to some of the strong points in your story, I think. And I want to talk to you about the NSVs, the non-scale victories we talk about. Can you just run us through some of those and what happened for you in that space?
I started doing intermittent fasting for the weight loss. But the reason that I have kept doing it all these years was the non-scale victories, because the amount of pain that was eliminated from my life is really quite remarkable. It was a big deal for me. So I had had plantar fasciitis since my 20s, and that is a pretty painful thing that happens to your feet. And you get inflammation on the sole and heel of your foot, and it hurts to walk. And when you get up in the morning, get out of bed, put weight on your feet, and it hurts right away. It just hurts a lot. And off and on throughout my entire adult life, I had had plantar fasciitis. Sometimes it was worse. Sometimes it was not as bad, but it had always been there. Never went a year without having a bout of intense pain from plantar fasciitis. And I can say that I have not had any plantar fasciitis since about 6 months after starting intermittent fasting. It's just amazing to me. I'm so thankful that pain is gone. And that allows me to exercise much more happily particularly walking and hiking, is just not as painful as it used to be. So that was a huge one. I had also some joint pain, and that kind of started in my late 40s, 50s, I think just general inflammation. My hips started to hurt a little bit. My shoulders started to hurt a little bit. My knees started to hurt a little bit. And that has definitely reduced significantly. I can't say I never have pain in my joints. I am 61, but nothing that keeps me from getting out there and doing everything I want to do. So that was a huge one as well since my 30s. That was something that I never figured out why it was happening, but I just knew that every morning when I got up after waking up, my eyes were completely dry and gritty, and I clearly wasn't producing tears or something in my eyes. So for many years, I had to put ointment in my eyes before going to bed to make sure that, you know, that I had some lubrication in there at night. And I have not had to put any eye ointment into my eyes since about 6 months after starting intermittent fasting. So that one has completely gone away. I had keratosis pilaris, which is it's kind of red bumps on your skin. I had them on my upper arms. I've had them since I was a teen. Those are gone. That wasn't particularly anything that bothered me a whole lot or worried me, but what I've read is that they are a sign of insulin resistance. So it's not too surprising that they're gone. And, you know, it's kind of nice to see that that outward manifestation of better metabolic health. And then I've had a reduction in blood pressure and resting heart rate. My blood pressure was never high enough to be on medication, but every time I'd go into the doctor, they'd say, oh, you're borderline, your blood pressure's borderline, it's a little bit high, you should be careful with that. And my resting heart rate was 68 beats per minute most of my life, and now it's like 50. It was astounding. And I, you know, that supposedly is something that you can modify with exercise, but that never changed with exercise for me. It changed with fasting. I don't know why, but that was a really interesting one to me.
Yeah.
So lots of things there.
I reckon. And that must be mind blowing for you, particularly with the background that you come from and your medical writing and your science background, and seeing those things happen in your own body after that 6 months. And I know for me, you've heard me talk about the psoriasis vanishing in front of my eyes off my body.
Yes.
I'd had it for 20 years of my life. I'd been to three specialists. I saw the top specialist in Australia. He said verbatim, Graham, you will never get rid of this. You will have psoriasis for the rest of your life. And I said to him, what about my diet? Is it all the sugar I have? I'm a sugar junkie. And he said, it's got nothing to do with it. He said, you will have this for the rest of your life. And he tried to put me on all these potions and lasering and all this sort of stuff. And he took photographs, and I'm really interested to go back there and get those photographs, because I could see it vanishing off my skin literally after 6 months. And then I started getting really convinced about intermittent fasting. I started thinking there is something much more going on than just the weight loss. And then, you know, the other things, the arthritic fingers were, I could open up my hands easily in the morning. I didn't have that joint pain you were talking about. I wasn't walking around like an old man when I got out of bed. I was springing out of bed, and I just felt so good. And so there's a lot of things other than just the weight loss, isn't there, regarding intermittent fasting?
Absolutely. Absolutely. For me, the elimination of pain and the dry eyes going away, between those two things, my feet don't hurt, my joints don't hurt, my eyes aren't dry. That's why I keep doing it. That's why I keep fasting. I never want that stuff to come back. And I feel better now at age 61 than I did at age 50. No doubt.
I was just talking to someone about that prior to this call, and I said to them, I feel better at 60 than I did at 30. I'm in much better shape physically, mentally than I am now than I was at 30 years of age, if you can believe that.
And yeah, I believe that.
Yeah, crazy. It's just crazy. And, you know, I can do so much more now than what I could at 30 because I was so obese. And, you know, I think we'll move into the maintenance side of things now, because for me, you mentioned there about mood and the mental side of it, and I want to touch on that in a minute. But, you know, maintenance for me was a real mind shift. It was totally different to losing the weight, because you get to that point where you've got the weight off your body, and then you come from that space where you've done this so many times, getting the weight off, goes back on, getting it off, goes back on. You mentioned that, how many times you've done that. So there is some degree of skepticism. Okay, well, I've done this now, but am I going to be able to keep the weight off? How am I going to keep it off? What am I going to do to keep it off? What sort of protocol am I going to have? I need some flexibility. I'm going to go mad. I need to do something that's a bit more flexible than what I was doing when I was getting the weight off, perhaps. So just run us through the maintenance side of it, and also the mindset around that, because I know I had some difficulty in living with the you me, if you like, and adjusting to the you image that I was seeing. And it is hard.
It is. The maintenance, I think, is the thing that threw me the hardest. I think that was the hardest part for me, because I hadn't ever maintained, and I hadn't ever stuck to, you know, calorie counting or keto or any of that. You know, when I tried keto, it worked. I lost weight on keto, but I couldn't sustain it. It was not a sustainable lifestyle for me. So I think with intermittent fasting, the thing that I realized pretty quickly is it is a sustainable lifestyle. There is enough flexibility that you can put in there that you could maintain if you just keep fasting every day, or nearly every day. By that, I mean, you know, 363 out of the 365 days of the year, right? And so I knew it was possible. I knew I could do it. I just didn't know exactly how my fasting protocol should look for maintenance. And at first I thought that I could loosen up and eat two meals a day, maybe. I very quickly learned that was not the case. I was going to just eat one meal a day, because two meals a day just did not work in terms of maintenance for me. I had a little bit of trouble kind of reaching a maintenance protocol that worked for me. But I did pretty well for a few years. Then, as I mentioned, with, you know, all the upheaval in my life, I sort of lost the plot a little bit and gained back some weight. And ADF helped me, you know, get that back. So I feel like now I have a pretty solid fasting protocol. I feel like the one day of ADF a week keeps me metabolically flexible, if you will, and throws enough variety in my fasting protocol to not let my body get too tracked into one thing.
Yeah, change it up a bit, keep it guessing,
yeah,
so to speak.
Yeah,
I think that's a good thing. And, you know, for me, it was just a case of the social side of things, you know, like what I missed when I went through my intermittent fasting weight loss phase was the social side, was the fact that I wasn't out socializing with people at breakfast. I wasn't meeting colleagues before work. I wasn't doing that. I wasn't going out with my friends as much. So I really missed that side of it. And I knew that I had to introduce some sort of social flex back in, and particularly around how I sort of, you know, interact with my wife and my beautiful forever girl. And one of the things I love on the weekends now is going down and having a lovely brunch on a Saturday and a Sunday. And I just really love that. It's one of my joys in life. And I think that just that little bit of flexibility for me is enough. And then during the week when I'm working and I'm busy, I don't really care that I fast at 5 o'clock. I don't even think about it, actually. I just work, and then I get to the point after 5 o'clock, I eat sometime. I don't look at a clock. I don't have an app. I don't have anything. I just know I eat after 5 o'clock, and that's it. And then, you know, if I go on holidays and vacations and that sort of thing, I've just been over in New Zealand, actually. And before that, I was in France for the Rugby World Cup. And you know, I just roll with the day, but I still fast. And most of the time it's at least 14, 16 hours when I'm on vacation because life's to be lived. And if you're in a country like France, you want to taste some of the cuisine and that sort of thing. So you're a bit more flexible. But I think if you can find that balance and maintenance, you can really sustain this. And for me, now over 4.5 years, and I keep a weight range. I like to talk about a weight range rather than a goal weight, because when you have a number, it can do your head in if you're not at that exact number while you're maintaining. But when you say to yourself, okay, I want to keep a 4 to 6 pound range, 2 to 3 kilos here, which I've done over the last 4.5 years. And then I got to the top of the end of that range when I was away in France and New Zealand. And so then all I simply did was recalibrate. So for me, maintenance is why I call it recalibration, where if I'm up the top of that range, I'll simply wind things back in. I'll sort of, you know, increase my fasting periods. I'll decrease my eating window, and I'll just keep a bit of an eye on what I'm having in that eating window. I might ramp up my exercise just to recalibrate. So I'm always in that band, if you like. So over the last 4 years, like when I went to the Rugby World Cup in Japan to going to the Rugby World Cup in France 23, I found that I was putting on the same all-black uniform that I wear to the games. I'm an all-black fan, as you may know.
Go All Blacks.
Go All Blacks, yes, yeah. and missed last year, but that's okay. It's it was a bit hard sitting in the stands here at Parc de France in Paris, but anyway. So I just loved it that I was able to get those clothes out that I wore 4 years ago in Japan and put them on again to support my team. And I felt so proud of myself, and I saw photos of myself in Japan and in France. I looked the same. And that's for me. It's about looking the same. It's about just keeping that normalcy with maintenance. And, you know, it's a very big mindset shift about how you interact with yourself and maintaining and not getting too wound up about it. And I call it vigilance without obsession. That's what I like to think about maintenance.
I love that. Love that. Yeah. And I maintain a range also. I don't obsess on a single number. I would say my range is 160 to 165 pounds. And that reminds me of what you were talking about with vacation. That reminds me of something. So I also flex when I go on vacation. I tend to, you know, loosen things up a little bit and open my window earlier if there's some place we're going to go to that's window worthy and so on. But I think one of the things that happened that threw me for a loop relating to maintenance is that I also retired. And so we were traveling a lot. And so in a way that felt like being on a perpetual vacation. I can't be on a perpetual vacation. It's one thing to go off on vacation for 2 weeks and, you know, broaden your eating window and flex a little bit and then come back and go back to your normal routine. If you're traveling a lot and you're retired and, you know, we were nomads around the world for a couple of years, you kind of can't say, oh, I'm on vacation, I'm going to flex a lot, because that just doesn't work. So I think that's one of the things that threw me in maintenance. That, and I didn't have a scale, so I couldn't weigh myself. I was trying to, you know, measure my waist and make sure that my clothes still fit and so on, but it wasn't quite as obvious of a thing for me as just seeing the weight, just seeing the numbers. So
food is so available now. What I did notice in New Zealand, in the cities I was in, Christchurch, is the amount of fast food now in New Zealand is insane. It's just basically on every street corner now. Whereas I remember as a kid growing up, you know, and to when I left New Zealand in my early 20s, fast food wasn't a huge thing apart from the local takeaway or milk bar or whatever. But now it seems like here in Australia is the same, that we've been run over by fast food. So we've got to, you know, and it's correlating to the obesity rates. And I know with your background, you probably have some thoughts around that.
Yeah, I'm just thankful that I did not ever like fast food particularly, because it is fueling the obesity crisis, I think. It's not particularly healthy. The oils that they use in cooking it are not even very healthy oils. And, you know, there's very few vegetables to be found. So yeah, it's not a good thing. Fast food is definitely not helpful. And generally speaking, ultra processed food as well, I feel like is almost pseudo food, you know. It tricks your taste buds into wanting more and more and more. And it's hard to stop eating. So
yeah, it is. I just wanted to touch on there, getting back to the maintenance side of things and, you know, dealing with the UU and all of that. I know I'd be walking around and I'd see a reflection of myself in the mirror and I'd go, who's that? I actually scared myself once. I was having a shower and I was like going on this with my towel on my head, right? I looked in the mirror and I jumped because I thought somebody was standing behind me. That was when I first got there. But I didn't realize that that was me. And I was out one day shopping and I looked in this mirror and I was going, who the hell is that? And it was like really weird. And then things would happen, like I was walking down the street one day and I walked past this guy that I work with for 20 years. And he walked clean past me. And I looked at him and I said, oh, g'day, Steve. And he just kept walking. And I thought, oh, what's going on with him, you know? And then he turned around and he's looking at me and he said, do I know you, mate? And I said, oh, you see, you're Graham Curry. And I said, yeah. And he said, oh, my God. He said, what's happened to you? And then we were having this great discussion about intermittent fasting and how I got myself healthy. And he said, you look 20 years younger. He said, I can't believe it. He said, that's why I didn't recognize you. He said, I was at a funeral once and standing around and blokes were talking. It was an old work colleague again that had passed on. And one of these guys said, oh, what happened to that Graham Curry guy? He must be dead now. He was really obese. And I'm standing next to this guy. And everyone started laughing. They said, why don't you ask him? He's standing right next to you. And this guy nearly fell over. And so they're interesting experiences, aren't they? You know, where we're trying to challenge ourselves with the way we look and you start thinking there's something wrong with you because people look at you so differently.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a big one. I definitely have, for me, it happens in photographs. I see photographs of myself now and I think, is that really how I look? I look thin. What is that? That's so strange. I'm just so used to seeing myself overweight that I for so many years that when I look at photographs now, I just don't recognize myself. I think in the mirror, it's a little bit less obvious because I'm not actually like analyzing, I guess. I'm seeing it in a different way when I'm looking in the mirror, but yeah, for me, it's photographs. I sort of look at them and think that can't be me. And of course it is. It's the new me.
You know, you strike me as a pretty positive sort of person as it is, but you know, for me, it really changed my relationship with myself, if you like.
Yeah. I think the thing that happened for me in terms of mindset and how I thought about food is that I no longer felt an urgency around food. So the calm came from not having an urgent need or a big craving to eat something. I think that was a big one for me. And, you know, part of it is that I did actually work pretty heavily on changing my thoughts. Telling myself that hunger was not an emergency, telling myself that I could eat later, telling myself that I felt good when I was fasting, noticing how much better I felt, noticing the energy, and really making sure that I had those thoughts that I remembered on a daily basis, you know, how good it was. Because I felt like changing my thoughts was changing the way I felt. I feel completely free compared to how I used to feel. And I enjoy my food so much more. And I'm eating much better food. And I'm eating what I want, which 95% of the time is the stuff that's good for me, because that's what I like these days. But, you know, if I want ice cream, I'll eat it. I just don't do that, you know, every day. So
if I think you can do that 95% of the time, you're doing pretty well. I mean, I was probably the opposite of that scale. I was probably eating unhealthy food 95% of the time. And that's what my problem was. But when you reverse that to doing what you're doing now, everything changes. And for me, it is all about the food, I think, with intermittent fasting, because I want to complement my fast right. So I'm going to go to that effort of fasting all day. And it is an effort, let's face it. And you're doing ADF a couple times a week or once a week there. And you think to yourself, this is a big effort. So when I come to my eating window, I want to complement that. I want to honor the fast. For me, it's about honoring my fast in the eating window with eating what makes me feel my greatest, not what my mind wants, because that got me into a lot of trouble. So I think when you sort of get into that mindset of, you know, eating what serves your body and eating foods that love you back, even though you may love those foods, but if they don't love you back, then there's something wrong with that relationship, isn't it? It's like life with people. If you love someone, yet they don't love you back, there's no hope long term, is there?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, look, there's degrees, right, of how foods love us back or don't love us back. So for me, I can't eat gluten. That long before I started doing intermittent fasting, I had to give up gluten because I'm gluten intolerant. It wrecks my gut and I can't have it. And so, you know, that's easy. That's an easy choice because the result of eating gluten for me is pretty devastating. It doesn't feel good at all. Whereas, you know, having a bowl of ice cream, I don't feel that that necessarily is a terrible thing for me, and I feel fine. So I do that on occasion. So, but yeah, I mean, you have to eat the foods that love you back, no doubt about it. And there's some foods that are inflammatory for people that make your joints ache or that promote migraines, or, you know, there's a lot of different things that that people experience with food. And I think in a way, intermittent fasting allows you to do a better job of noticing which foods really work for you and which ones don't. I don't know if that's because you're only you're eating less frequently, so there's less to think about in terms of what made you feel poorly with food or what it is. But I do feel that people become more aware of how their food choices are affecting them when they do intermittent fasting.
Yeah, 100%. Couldn't agree more. Well, we're coming to the end of the podcast now, but before we go, I really want to tap into your knowledge and your background. And if you're sitting around there in Mapu and then Nelson and have lovely cafe that there is there, and you're talking to people about intermittent fasting and they say, you know what, Susanna, you look amazing. You look absolutely amazing. Can you give us some key pointers how to get going, how to start, and just some whys why we should try it?
Yeah. So I think the why really is health. That's of everything else. And of course the weight comes off if you have excess weight. But I think you'd really do start feeling so good when you do intermittent fasting. And almost everyone I know that has done it for any length of time consistently has felt that health benefit. The other thing I would say is the clean fast is really important. So having only black coffee, black tea, water, nothing with flavors in it until you're ready to break your fast. That is super helpful because there's this thing called the cephalic phase insulin response. And just even if it doesn't have calories, any sweet flavor will cause an insulin response. And that the only thing that that does is it makes you hungrier. So it will make your fasting much, much harder. And then I think finally, the other thing I would say to someone just starting is focus on one thing. Pick a plan and just focus on one thing. For me, that was I just had one focus, and that was don't eat before 5 p.m. That was it. And clean fasting, but that's kind of assumed. Not everyone's going to have the same fasting schedule. Not everyone's going to find one meal a day to be easy, but you have to work with what your body is telling you. You know, pay attention to what your body's doing, how it's reacting. And some people do well, you know, wending their way into a good fasting schedule. Some people hit it right away. But ultimately, the main thing is to keep fasting, to keep doing it on a daily basis to achieve the benefits.
Yeah, absolutely. Great advice. And I'll just add to that, keep it simple, start slow. You know, eat what makes you feel great and, you know, what serves you best, and you'll be okay. Add some movement and some exercise and you'll be fine. But, you know, don't overcomplicate it. That's the message here. But thank you for being so inspiring today. I've really enjoyed talking to you, I've got to say. But I'd love to catch up with you in another year's time just to see where you are in your maintenance there. And all the best to yourself and your husband. And I'm very envious of the lovely part of New Zealand that you live in. So thank you for joining me here on the Fasting Highway.
It was my pleasure, Graham. And thank you very much for everything that you do. You are a star. I love that you're spreading the word.
Oh, I'm just Graham Curry from Perth, Australia. I'm just me. But anyway, thank you. I'm blushing here, but yeah, thanks very much. But you have a great day.
You too.
Oh, thank you so much, Suzanne. Really enjoyed that conversation with you. Thank you for joining us here on the Fasting Highway today. Look forward to having you back in 6 to 12 months' time to see where you are in another couple of years of maintenance under your belt. And I think some of those insights you shared were really thought-provoking, so thank you so much for that. And I'm sure it's helping a lot of people out there that listen to this episode today. Okay, folks, as you heard, this episode is brought to us by our Patreon community. Without the support of our Patreon supporters, we could not get this podcast out to you each and every week. We could not run the Fasting Highway Facebook group or do the things we do in the Intermittent Fasting Global community. So if you can see your way clear to come and help and support us in the Patreon community, you get a lot of benefits back. You get extra content, bonus podcasts. You get 2 Zoom accountability meetings a month. That's 2 Northern Southern Hemispheres where you can come in and talk to other fasters. They're hosted by myself, facilitated by me, and they're really a lot of fun, but they're also great for people who want to get some extra accountability and stay the course of your intermittent fasting journey. We have some really good plans for the Patreon community this year, and I'd strongly urge you, if you're looking for more accountability, to join it. For the price you pay, it's pretty good. Okay, also folks, for those interested in finding my own story in my book, The Fasting Highway, I've been sending in emails where to get that, and you can actually get it on Amazon in both paperback and Kindle. If you are looking for the audio version, no, it's not on Audible, but you can get it on Kobo, Spotify, audiobooks.com, all the other major players in the audiobook space. You'll find the Fasting Highway audiobook, or try it at your local library. Okay, folks, until next week, be well, be safe, and remember, clean fasting is everlasting.